League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Today's date is the 12th of July, 1990. We're going to conduct an audio surveillance of one penless mat.
Hey, what's going on over there, ma'am?
There's somebody screaming for help outside.
Tell me how they did it. How they did it.
Just down the road, I was a 15-year-old kid and absolutely believed what my family and neighbors were telling me. 22-year-old Pamela Smart used her 16-year-old lover to murder her husband.
If her fingerprints were on the locking mechanism, then Pam didn't let the boys in.
She refuses to take any responsibility for the planning of the murder. As adamant as she is, I have to give it some credit.
Pam, just say you fucking did it so you can go home so your mother can rest.
She is a demon.
Hey, Pam. I'm your host, Mel Barrett, and this is the In Between Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts, or binge the whole season now, including bonus content at the Grab Bag Collab Patreon. Thanks for listening and sharing.
Joey just gave me some really interesting information while we were not recording. Do you want to tell them or do you want me to tell them?
Is this the one that some of my gay male friends are coming from New York for a birthday weekend rave? And when you asked, can I come? I said no.
No, but I already knew the answer to that question because though I am an ally, a true ally, and often welcome in homosexual spaces, I know when I'm not wanted.
Okay, well, what was the other thing?
That you wanted to be bisexual.
Well, I wish I were bisexual because, listen, why not cast that net wide? There's just not a bisexual bone in my body. I think women are amazing and beautiful. Not me, not you, but the rest of them.
Do the demonstration that you just did of how you would take care of a lady part. Now, you're going to have to go to YouTube for this visual, but I'll explain it.
What I would do is channel Bette Midler in Big Business when she's milking the cow and she's like, well, hello, Jupiter Hollow. I know you're doing fine. Like, I feel like that's what you do.
And you wish you were bisexual.
I think I'm doing this right.
No woman in this moment or any moment wishes you were bisexual. Sexual.
Longest cold open ever. Henry, play the music.
Hello, Delphinches! Welcome to I Think Not, the podcast where we know our lanes and we stay in them.
I will not be defined by one act of playing with a ding-a-ling. I will not.
My name is Ellen Marsh, and across from me is my best friend and life partner at this point, Joey Taranto. And you have tuned into I Think Not, the podcast where we recap your favorite true crime TV shows episode by episode. Every month we bring you a new show, and we got a new show for you, everyone. If you want to catch us on YouTube, this is a plug for the YouTube, but you're going to want to see what we do all the time. I promise you, it's pretty fun. Those drop on Fridays. Say hi, Joseph.
Hello.
And that's all I let him say. We're covering a brilliant new show by a fellow podcaster, Lacey Mosley. Her podcast, Scam Goddess, has been made into a TV show on Hulu. Round of applause for Lacey. And of course, if it involves a scam, we'd love it. So we're covering four episodes here, and then we'll throw the other two over on the Patreon. Speaking of the Patreon,
if you're a sadistic human being and you're like, I want more of this, go over to patreon.com/ithinknot for as little as $5 a month. You can get four bonus episodes, three true crime, one true crime adjacent, which is The Secret Lies of Mormon Wives. And let me tell you, they've got secrets and they're all in their hair.
We have all kinds of stuff, including watch parties. And we just decided the other day, me and Discord Daddy Josh, that we're going to watch Traitors on Thursday night because now I'm doing this thing called downtime and my downtime is watching Traitors. So for our Hallelujah, What's a 2-Year tier, you can get a movie night and swamp talk and get on our Discord and our close friends circle where every night I take an edible and I show you the funny videos I'm watching on Instagram. It's a blast.
And you know what she never does? Wipes her camera. Is she filming this from heaven? Is she filming this from a fog machine? We will never know.
If you are looking for that bonus content, head over to patreon.com/ithinknot. We got all sorts of goodies and tiers for you, but you know, we're always going to be in your ears here on the main feed for free every Wednesday.
Even if you're like, Patreon's not for me, that's okay. We're just glad you're here and we love you. Let's get to the episode.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Season 1, Episode 1 of Scam Goddess, The Horseplay Heist.
A major national news story is emerging from the small town of Dixon, Illinois.
Former Dixon comptroller Rita Crunwell admits she stole more than $50 million.
Dixon is one of the biggest scams, happened to one of the tiniest towns.
It was an epic heist that defies belief.
By day, she was a small town bookkeeper. But the folks in Dixon wondered how her $80,000 salary paid for 400 thoroughbreds, luxurious stables, a $2 million motorhome, and a life as the undisputed grand dame of the competitive horse world. Saddle up and learn how this city accountant galloped into the Conn Hall of Fame.
Well, we are in Dixon, Illinois, population 15,000 as of 2023. They said on the episode that it was 16,000. It's 15.
Loves a Google. Look at you. I have taught you so much.
And you know how you spell Google?
How?
G-Google. A female resident of this town wants to get something off her chest.
We love dicks.
Joey.
What?
That's not what she said. We're in Dixon, Illinois. Play what she said.
We love Dixon.
Sorry, I heard dicks and I stopped there. We're told that Dixon is your typical all-American Midwestern city. Someone said, I had high school teachers that my parents had.
My town is like that. I just moved to my town a couple years ago, but people in my town love being like generations deep. People who do that, they love that part of the story.
Well, I was just like, God damn, how old are some of these teachers? It's like,
welcome to English 101. The 101 stands for the 101 years I've worked here. Like, what the fuck?
It's just like George Burns in every classroom.
We'll change it. We'll buy it. We'll buy it. Okay, that's enough of that.
You know, Dixon, they are famous for their Petunia Festival. And you know what the Petunia Festival is, right, babe?
It's the Festival of Petunias.
No, it's gay pride. That's code for gay pride. Go down to the, but and like the four gay guys walk into the town square and they sing YMCA, but the one guy always messes up the A and he tries to be the whites. It's a thing. They are also the catfish capital of the world. We're not talking about the fish. They all just like showing up places and pretending to be other people. It's a weird town.
Could you imagine? It's like, sorry, wrong catfish.
Yeah.
Also, you're going to hear this a lot on this episode. This is actually Ronald Reagan's hometown. You can visit Reagan's home. You can visit Reagan's trail.
In the museum, you know, they have a plate of pancakes. He was at the local Waffle House and he didn't finish it.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually kept in a box. Those were the pancakes that he didn't finish.
Let me tell you something. If all of that is interesting to you, like Reagan's home, Reagan's trail, Reagan's pancakes, you should look at the AIDS quilt sometime and see all the gay men that Ronald Reagan murdered because he wouldn't acknowledge AIDS. And that might change your mind, wouldn't it? Who knows? I hate that man. His best friend died of AIDS and he ignored it.
Were you like planning on talking about the AIDS crisis on our comedy podcast today?
If you can talk about Nazis, I can talk about the AIDS crisis, okay? Not that the two should be conflated. I'm just saying, Ronald Reagan was a terrible person.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the people of Dixon were victims of a massive scandal, and we don't mean the 80s. We sit down here with Jim Dixon, and he is really proud of his ancestors that were the first prominent settlers of this town. And there are two ladies here who are going to give their opinion of Dixon.
We love Dixon.
So classy.
It's classy.
Well, there you go. The only problem is, we all know what Countess Luann says. Money can't buy your class. Like we said, it's one of those places where people are raised and then they stay there and they raise their family. And then someone else says,
it's a vibe. It's a Dixon vibe.
But we are not here to talk about the controversial 40th president. Oh, no. We are here to talk about a dickstick by the name of Rita Crunwell.
Rita Crunwell was accomplished. She was successful. She was an equestrian. She was also a cunt. And she didn't just scam two people, three people. She scammed the whole fucking town in the amount of, we'll talk about that later.
Mm-hmm.
And also, she did this for 20 years.
It's called the long game. Now, what's interesting about this show is Lacey Mosley is sort of boots to the ground. She's here, she's getting in, she's talking to people, which I think is really cool. So this is definitely a different kind of true crime show than a bunch of talking heads. There are talking heads, but she is there. If I were to do a true crime show, I would want to do it like this. I would want to get in and talk to all these people. Get it, girl. Way to turn your podcast into a TV show. We need to get Lacey Mosley and learn her ways. I would love to do this.
I don't know if you want me to do this because I couldn't fix my face. If I had like a bad guy in front of me, I would be like this the whole time. It wouldn't be great for them. Lacey, our host, goes to the local watering hole to get the real tea from the locals on Rita Crunwell. And I just know they're about to read this woman for filth. And then we see a pride sign on the wall of this bar. And I was like, okay, Dixon, maybe that woman meant it, what she said about the folks of Dixon.
We love Dix.
Joey.
That is the quote, and that's my story. I'm sticking to it, okay?
Well, she goes to a place called Val's Place, and it is her place. Val's there. She's like, what's happening? This is my place. I'm Val. And a guy named Norm walks in, and everyone yells, Norm! And then in my notes, I wrote, it's like Cheers. And then Lacey goes, oh my, this is Cheers! Girl, why didn't you call me to co-host this with you?
Well, Lacey goes around the bar chit-chatting, but then she mentions Rita's name, and it's all... It's a very sensitive subject. Now, Jim Dixon, whose lower third says that he is the great-great-great-great-great-grandson of the Dixon founders, pops in to say that Rita didn't look like a criminal. She was very pretty, which made it very easy for her to steal. Is that a thing that they say about criminals? Watch out for the pretty ones they steal.
But we're gonna learn that she got away with a lot because of her charm. Now, Lacey is really absorbing this neighborhood feel.
Yeah.
And everyone kind of has the same thing to say about Rita. She was really famous for her horses. We're gonna learn all about these horses. She was in the newspaper. She was in equestrian magazines. She did all of these things with horses. And of course, everyone loves to talk about Ronald Reagan and the catfisher huge. If you get it, you get it. It's a really nice neighborhood. Get it? Neighborhood. Because it, the horses. It's because you'd say neighborhood, but also neighborhood.
Sometimes I really hate you. Well, Rita grew up in Dixon. She came from a family of farmers, and so she grew up in the rural side.
Thank you for not making me say it.
Say it.
No, I don't want to do it.
Say it.
We love dicks.
Two can play at that game.
But basically, Rita was a cowgirl.
There's a lot of exposition as to the history of Rita. Tom Wadsworth is here, her old classmate, and he's pulling out his yearbook. I was like, you are so sweet to think we care about your old... I don't even care about my old yearbooks, and we're looking through these yearbooks. Just the history that she had been there for so long, and then this woman, Kathy, is here. I don't know why she is here other than to read Rita for film. Because this is what she says.
Rita never looked really glamorous to me.
Kathy, drag her. Kathy's like, listen, I'm going to keep it real. She was a farm girl. You all, they are going to drag Rita, and I am here for it.
A local at the bar says Rita started laying the foundation for this scam in high school. She was part of a club in high school that allowed her to work as an intern for City Hall. She worked with the city's finance department, right? They had her running errands, but she was also learning how to run the books, and they would let this 16-year-old girl help them with the books.
Who hires a teenager to do anything that isn't disgusting? Name that movie.
I don't know.
Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
What?
You are a disappointment to every gay man in America. I worked for my high school cafeteria. Granted, I got paid in bagels. Now, we don't victim blame on this podcast, but Dixon, why are you letting a stupid teenager work in the finance department of your town? I worked at the Gap and I didn't get a key to the register for like 2 years. You can't trust a teenager to make accurate change. They're basically just tall toddlers with a bad attitude.
Honey, when I was in high school, I was perfecting the art of masturbating without anyone hearing me. I could not run no books. I could barely
actually masturbate quietly. And now that I've said that out loud, I feel like I've overshared. Forget that I said that. Strike that from the record, Your Honor.
Leave it from the record, Henry. Thank you. She basically has a key to the city vault. So, Dixon, you got to take some responsibility here.
Once she graduated high school, Rita went full-time in the city hall finance department. Now, Rita loved horses. She showed horses in high school. She was very well respected in the world of horses. I don't know. She owned 400 of them. Who needs 400 horses?
Do you know what a group of horses is called?
No.
Well, it's commonly called a herd, but it's also known as a mob. And then when I thought about it, I thought that horses are a little mafia-like. You know, they're like, hey.
Is that it?
Get it? Hey.
That's the whole...
Hey.
I don't know what's going on today. I'm not getting any of your jokes.
Hey.
Uh-huh. I got it the first time.
But, like, imagine me as, like, Al Pacino with a horse face and a horse head. Wasn't that in The Godfather? Wasn't there a horse head?
Have you ever ridden a horse before?
Yes. It's scary.
I did it once. Horses are beautiful. They're majestic. They're stunning. I am terrified of them.
So was Charlotte York. And then she had to conquer her fear in Central Park.
And she did, not before Carrie almost lit the barn on fire by smoking.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Anyway, horses really scare me, but they did not scare Rita. She loves it. She was in horse shows. She showed horses. She did well. Horses.
So a full-time Dixon employee making $80,000 a year had a seriously spendy side hustle in the horse world? How does that even add up?
They're going to break this down a little bit more. An average horse costs about $15,000. They can go all the way up to $1 million.
Okay.
But it's not even the buying of the horses that you have to consider. You have to board it, feed it, groom it, give it veterinary care. They also have a very elaborate shoe collection. Horses are basically the Carrie Bradshaw of the animal kingdom. I digress. That's two Sex and the City references.
Yes.
But the whole world of horses is very rich. I only had one girl growing up that rode horses, and she was very rich. You've got to have some generational wealth to get into the horse world. The outfits alone are so expensive, like equestrian pants.
But you know, Rita specialized in quarter horses.
Would she cut horses up into four pieces?
Quarters. She quartered them.
I hope at the end of this episode, she is charged with animal cruelty.
My love, that's not what it means. It means that they can run a quarter of a mile faster than your regular horse. They're not quartering them and bringing them to the sausage factory.
Oh, I need to change my notes. Okay.
Even if she was selling a few horses a year at like 100K, mm-hmm. You're talking about 400 horses, feeding them, boarding them, all of that. Her $80,000 a year salary at the city council, there's no way she was covering all of that with that salary. What we need to understand is the why, like why she would do this. Mm-hmm. And Lacey decides to speak with Shayna Rigsby, who is a certified horse whisperer.
Mm-hmm.
What is a horse whisperer? Do.
Talks to horses, Joey. What do you think?
But like psychically, they're psychics.
I think she just works well with horses and knows a lot about horses.
Like they're not psychically connected. I'm actually a cat whisperer. I don't know if you know this, but I was on the phone with your cat, Boyante, the other day.
What did he say?
He said you should probably change his sheet soon because he's had some problems in there.
Also, it must be said, we see a lot of Rita at said horse shows, you know, winning horse shows, riding, talk. We see a lot of B-roll of her, and this woman's outfits are unacceptable.
Yeah.
We covered the Mean Girl Murders episode where we had all those rodeo queen outfits, and yes, they were over the top, but Rita has some next level ugly clothes. I have seen salads that dress better than fucking Rita.
No, it looks like Rita was sponsored by Chico's.
Yes.
Like the Chico's outlet.
Absolutely. That is such a good call. So she's still working for the city, making her sweet $80,000 a year, which is a great salary to live like a normal person, but she's also, you know, horsing around with The horses.
So Shayna the horse whisperer is like,
Rita had so much value in her horses. So when Rita showed, she was actually winning the championship titles. When Rita showed up with her big fancy rig, she could ask whoever she wanted to move and you couldn't say no. She did not like to have another horse beat her. She would purchase the horse that beat her if she lost in a class.
That is so savage. Like, congratulations. How much for the horse?
Literally, like, I will buy and sell you.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So she was a queen bee and nobody fucked with her.
It's funny because I didn't exactly understand what a horse show was, but when they said it's like a beauty pageant for horses, I'm like, ah, yes, okay.
There's equestrian horses, you know, horses that do all the jumping and stuff, which I love to watch on the Olympics.
Right.
And then, yeah, they're judging them on, you know, their muscles and their form. It's kind of like the Westminster Dog Show.
That horse got a big dick. Give it a blue ribbon. Is that how it works?
Exactly.
So basically, the prettier the horse, the better it does, and the more it's worth.
Now, remember, Rita had over 400 horses, and Shayna says an average show horse costs about $100,000. Of course, it's all about the breeding. You know, if they come from a good lineage, the more expensive they get. So Rita had over 400 horses, and Lacey breaks it down for us. For example, in 2009, she bought a horse for $225,000. So you multiply that by 400, and it equals, I don't know, $1 billion, a lot of money.
It's $90 million.
But then you think, okay, well, she's competing in these competitions, so surely she must be getting prize money. The prize money is like $20,000, which is a lot of money, but not when you buy a horse for $225,000.
Yeah, so the town of Dixon was like, I guess she's selling horses or investing. It's not like somebody was going to approach her and be like, hey, bitch, so how much money you make? Where does it come from?
We know people like that from Broadway, though. You know, we would have friends that, like, wouldn't work for a year or two, and they were wearing designer clothes and eating at fancy restaurants, and I would be like, I'm over there working at the Chiquita Banana double shifts every fucking day. How are you living so large with no salary?
Trust fund.
Yeah. You don't know where people come from. You don't ask questions. You don't say, like, hey, you're not working right now. How are you living?
Right.
People just were like, maybe she made some good investments or something. You just don't talk about money. It's just not what you do.
Of course not. There's no appropriate way to ask someone that.
She has a nice home. She had a huge farm.
RVs, horse trailers, bespoke furniture, and a vacation home in Florida.
We were just stunned to learn she had more properties than we were aware of.
In 2009, she splurged on a motorhome worth a whopping $2.1 million.
I have never heard of a $2 million motorhome.
What's in the motorhome? A Maserati?
I have no idea.
You skipped over this woman's custom furnishing because Countess de Lesseps said, it can't buy you taste either. This woman had a chandelier made out of vintage revolvers and these really ornate wood pieces and tiles. The tiles spelled out her initials and stuff. That house isn't gonna resell with that bullshit. It's like she went to the ugly store and bought everything they had.
Yep.
That was the ugliest house I have ever seen.
Yeah, it was not cute. I mean, the outside was pretty, really beautiful.
And then the inside, she had like deer head like coasters where you just, the hooves were there and you like put the cup and no, it was tacky.
How did she rip this town off for so long and no one noticed? Meet Danny Langloss, who is the Dixon City manager and worked with Rita in her final years at City Hall. And let me tell y'all something. Danny got nothing nice to say about Rita.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
What's a city manager?
They manage the city.
City looks good.
You know I have this in there somewhere. City, like, I can't remember.
You manage the city. Like, whenever the city needs a break, you go and get it a cup of coffee.
Hey, city, it's time for your break. You got 20 minutes.
Is anybody a city manager? I would just like to know what he does.
I don't know what that means, but Danny's like, look, let me tell you. Rita was a master manipulator. She knew how to make anyone feel like the most important person in the room. Now, listen, Rita could never have gotten away with this if people were paying closer attention. I have a feeling that people like Danny, they're really going to be like, she was a master manipulator, she was a sociopath, all these things, because he wants to take some of the pressure off of the city of Dixon. Mm-hmm. I think he's just trying to pass the buck a little bit. You know what I mean?
I agree. I totally agree. But there is that characteristic. That is how scammers and manipulators get their way.
Sure.
You know, when we did Pink Collar Crimes, we had Providence Hogan, that woman who worked for the PTA. No one looked at her twice. Jackpot Jackie. They're really friendly people. Like, oh, I'll take you out. They're charming. They're lighting up every room they walk into. It just draws your attention away from the bad things that they're doing. But I do understand that the shortcoming is being like, oh, Rita's fine. We're going to learn no one was really paying attention to anything that Rita did. And she did charm the pants off of everyone.
With that said, Danny is like,
if you think about it, right? Like, so many of these people work with her since she was 16 or 17 and she was an intern and turned a lot of heads with her work ethic, her personality, the way she was able to connect with people. She knew how to make people feel special, feel important. And those are all factors in building rapport and building trust.
When confronted with information that is in direct opposition to the person that you know,
absolutely,
it's very hard to receive that.
People are bamboozled. It's like you know, you have all this charm, so much talent, and you're so good looking, and people love you, and nobody knows that you are a wildebeest in tank tops.
I think they know.
You think?
They like, look at this old moose. You ain't fooling nobody. Never liked you. Hate your curls, hate your eyes. Big old nose, big old mouth. I don't like. Sorry, that's me looking in the mirror.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Charm goes a long way, but also she was a hard worker. I mean, she worked hard on this scam. So she was the city clerk, and she'd been that job since she was like 16 years old, because apparently Dixon doesn't know that teenagers are stupid. Then she became the treasurer of the city of Dixon. Incidentally, I was the treasurer of the Musical Theater Society at Emerson College my sophomore year. To this day, I don't know what I did. I swear to God, people would just hand me things, and I was a sophomore. Why was I? I don't know.
It's too much responsibility for anyone. But basically, if you worked for the city, you knew Rita. She dealt with everything pertaining to the city.
Yeah, it looks good. City looks good. Yep. I work here in the city.
She knew the ins and outs of Dixon dangerously well. And then she became the comptroller while being the treasurer. I looked this up just so we could all be on the same page. A comptroller is a senior executive who manages accounting and financial reporting for an organization. A treasurer monitors revenue streams, taxes, fees, and funds for city departments and initiatives. There is no ethical reason why someone should be both comptroller and treasurer, because there's no checks and balances.
Also, remember that episode of Smug Shots where I thought that they were saying controller wrong the whole time?
Listen, we're all learning together.
With both positions under her belt, she was basically like a little financial Napoleon in this town. She was like a financial dictator.
Rita was allowed to open a bank account with one signature and just her name, with her as the treasurer. So she developed a scheme as she watched road projects being done around town. She would create fictitious invoices and be writing large sums of money for these projects that we had no responsibility for. And instead of writing it to the state of Illinois treasurer, she wrote it to treasurer, and she was the treasurer.
She's a mad genius.
It's kind of not even a mad genius, though, if you think about it. Like, it's so simple. It really reminds me of Jackpot Jackie.
Yeah.
Where she was, like, quite literally cut, copy, and pasting things. Or in our live show, the accountant that was, like, writing it out to taxes.
Yeah.
So it's not really genius. It's the genius kind of is in its simplicity.
That's what I mean.
Opening another account. But it worked because she started doing this in 1990. She opened the secret bank account. She didn't transfer anything until 1991, and then she made her first big transfer, and that allowed her to steal $181,000. Fast forward to September 2009, and she was moving $100,000 here, $350,000 there. So within 20 years, this bitch made 169 transfers, and stretched out, that equaled about $2.5 million a year. That's Benunos.
That means that at this point in 20 years, it's over $50 million. Over $50 million. The city of Dixon has 15,000 people in it.
Let's be specific. It was $54.7 million, and that would have equaled 28% of Dixon's budget. That'll buy you a shit ton of horses.
Yep.
It's just really sad because, remember, these are just average Americans like you and I. We all pay our taxes. You can't get around it. You can't get around property tax. She's the one controlling everything and nobody is questioning her. And she has all of these different streams of income. Here's the thing. I go through my credit card bill and I make sure that there's nothing weird or suspicious that I don't notice. But if you think of looking through all of these numbers from a city, papers and numbers and stacks and all of these inputs and outputs.
And outpits.
Outpits. Nobody is paying attention to all of those little numbers because who does she answer to? Herself.
She trained everybody on finance, municipal finance, how things work. She put the sheets together and she showed them and she explained them. Wow.
She put the sheets together and shit the bed.
She got all these different revenue sources, where they come from. You got your infrastructure and your motor fuel tax, the Illinois funds and how they go into this account. Well, who's the one teaching the department heads?
So what the actual budget and revenue was different than what she was telling the department heads. They didn't have access to all of the correct information. They are taking her word for it. Mm-hmm. And what's so crazy is that, you know, you have people come in, they start a new job, they're like, oh, that's Rita. Rita knows everything. You're immediately not going to ask questions. You're going to accept and trust that Rita is doing what she's supposed to be doing. So these folks had no access to the original records. Only Rita did. And she doctored them. Mm-hmm. So basically, city manager Danny comes in to say, Rita's a sociopath. She didn't feel guilt. Yeah. And because of her actions, the city suffered greatly.
Listen, I've been a property owner for a long time. No one likes paying taxes, but they go to things to run your city. It goes to my daughter's high school. It goes to plow the snow. It goes to garbage. It is allotted for all of these things, but the citizens were the ones suffering because the workers are driving around in broken down trucks with holes in the floor. Problems weren't getting solved. Roads were going to shit because they didn't have the money. Finally, you know, Danny's really breaking this down. We all complain about taxes, but they're there for a certain reason. And Lacey's like, oh, I kind of thought this was going to be funny. This is sad.
Yeah, workers didn't have what they needed. The town projects were not getting completed. Meanwhile, Rita's living like a queen in her palace. And so that financial crisis of 2008 that hit all of us very hard, people were starting to bounce back. Cities were finding their way. Dixon could not get on its feet. The people were having a hard time. No one could understand why. Programs shut down. Local pools shut down. There were no raises. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, surrounding communities, they were starting to come alive. Those people were getting their raises. And so folks were asking a lot of questions.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do I talk to you about a raise? Or
do you want a raise?
I'd like a raise.
Okay. I'm calling HR. One second.
Hello.
Hi, Harris. It's Joey. You're on the radio.
Oh, boy. What's up?
Ellen just mentioned that she wanted a raise, and I told her that we have to speak to HR, which is you. So I was just wondering what your thoughts were on giving her a raise.
It's like an immediate? She wants it immediately?
I don't know, Ellen. Do you want it immediately?
Yes, I'd like you to Venmo me $20.
I mean, she's been taking a lot of downtime. So I'm just not sure.
Yeah, I don't know if she deserves that $20.
I mean, she's watched so many episodes of Traitors, so I'm thinking no.
Hey, Ellen, can you just take a little break real fast? I just have to have a quick business meeting.
Yeah. I'll mute myself. Yeah.
Hey, Harris.
Yeah.
I just want to say this affair that we've been having has been really nice. Thank you for helping me to turn this new bisexual leaf over. It's really been such an awakening, and I have you to thank for it.
You're welcome, and I'm so glad you said you weren't going to tell anybody. So let's just keep it between us. Ellen would really freak out that you went that way with me and not her, so let's just like keep it quiet.
And I love that you're on board with my idea of me being bisexual as nothing like sexual, just us watching Funny Girl on repeat.
Anything you need. I'm here to make you comfortable.
Were you guys talking about my birthday present?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Can't wait for my $20.
So taxes are going up, but nothing is changing. Nothing is getting done.
And Danny, the manager, explains.
The thing that really hurts and watch and see is our elected officials, they were good people who care about Dixon. Mm-hmm. And her theft
destroyed what they felt their reputation was, destroyed what they felt their impact was. And so the feeling of betrayal is something that just sat right in the core of so many people that were close to her.
If someone told me my taxes were going to some rhinestone bitch's horse farm, I would flip so many fucking tables. Everybody is out here struggling. These are just average Americans. And Rita is out in these streets taking people out for filet mignons and bringing her dogs home filet mignons. Not the bones. She'd be like, oh, I need to order another dinner for Muffy over there. And these people are just trying to fucking survive. Like, she's a selfish fucking horse hoarder.
I just want to drive home seriously what you just said. Ellen is not being facetious when she says that.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, Rita was taking people to steak dinners and she would order extra steaks to bring home to her dogs to eat.
These people, they're getting their like libraries and pools shut down. You, that is some piece of shittery.
So that's the caliber of person we're dealing with here. And so again, this is stretched out over 20 years. How did she finally get caught? It took one person to be like, something stinks. It smells like bullshit. And I think I know where the source of the stank is. Enter Kathy Swanson.
Well, Kathy has Lacey over for some tea and they're talking about all the odds and ends. So Lacey was like, well, you know Rita. And in true Midwestern fashion, Kathy goes, The Southerners say, oh, bless her heart. Yep. A New Yorker will be like, this fucking guy. And Kathy just gives us a very loaded,
Yep.
Well, Kathy was the deputy treasurer starting in 1991, which is the same as a treasurer, but I think you have a badge or something. I don't know. I didn't look it up. But she worked under Rita. And Lacey asks what that was like. And Kathy's like, well, she had a lot of swagger.
Uh-huh.
You know, she would sashay into the office.
And she wasn't flashy at work, but outside of work, she was very flashy. And then Kathy's like,
she would come back from the horse shows and bring all of us girls something.
Like what?
Oh my God. These ugly, ugly sandals with horse hanging off the sides. I wear a size 6.5. Mm-hmm. She got me a 10.
It's ugly and it doesn't fit.
Yeah, well.
She's like, no, you shouldn't have. You shouldn't have.
She was so mad at Rita. Her flabbers were gassed. She's like, I wore a 6.5 and that bitch brought me a 10.
I could just imagine Rita being so like arrogant and like, let me give you a little gift to the low people where it's like, you're not even really rich. You're a thief.
Exactly.
And you're a thief with bad taste. Anyway, Kathy was like, look, despite all of that, I loved my job. Mm-hmm. You know, I worked next to Rita for a long time. Everyone was like a little family. We started out with something like 120 employees, but as people retired, they wouldn't replace them. So fewer and fewer folks were down there. And Kathy was like, I had no help.
That happens.
Yeah.
When cuts are made, the responsibilities fall on other people and their salaries aren't getting doubled for doing two people's work. When I was in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, if a swing would go out of town, we wouldn't get a vacation swing. In the Broadway world, you get a vacation swing. You basically have someone come in for coverage. And our producers were so cheap, they were like, do a cut show. They didn't care. And then that goes on to us and the dance captain and the stage manager to reconfigure the show. So they're saving on someone's salary who's out on a sanctioned vacation. And they're like, we're just going to save the money. That's basically what the city of Dixon did. They did not hire vacation swings.
Well, also, that's what Rita did.
Yeah.
Because Rita was in control of the budget.
Yep.
Kathy was like, my first grandchild was being born. Mm-hmm. And I went to Rita and I asked for some help to lighten up my workload because I wanted to spend time with my daughter and my new grandbaby. And Rita was like, of course, I've got you. Don't worry. She didn't hire anyone.
And then Kathy noted,
and then when we'd have to pay the bills, she'd stand there and go through every envelope and say, pay this, don't pay this, pay this, don't pay this. Then the police chief went to her and said, you know, we need a new radio system. Mm-hmm. Because there are dead spots in Dixon. And she told him, I'm sorry, we don't have the money in the budget.
And that means that dispatchers weren't always getting the calls and folks could die.
That's a public safety risk. It really is.
Yep.
So she was constantly putting cuts in every budget. She was cutting everything. She wasn't paying bills. She was cutting salaries, well, rather cutting jobs, which then cut salaries. And honey, Kathy is a down bitch. She went to DBU and she majored in receipts.
Show me the receipts.
Kathy says that they worked with two banks, one of which Kathy had online access to, so she could check statements, whatever records she needed access to. This other bank account, Rita never allowed her access. Except one day, Rita was away on one of her horse shows, and Kathy was like, enough! I have a city council meeting. It's a hard deadline. I'm sick of this shit. I can't wait on her. She called that bank that she did not have online access to and said, I don't give a fiddler's fuck about passcodes, pin codes, whatever. You fax me every statement from this past year that you have for every single bank account, and you do it in 5 minutes. And the bank, I don't know how she did it. I don't know if she had a cousin who worked there. I don't know. Mm-hmm. In 5 minutes, she had all of those statements.
And honey, she combed through those statements like a cheated on spouse looking through text messages in WhatsApp.
Uh-huh.
And she sees these big deposits, $225,000, $210,000, $350,000, and then all of these withdrawals and other debts to the account. And she's thinking to herself, this isn't our account. And she like looks at the top of the page. She's like, well, it says City of Dixon. Well, this is very confusing. Something is shady. So Kathy is the first one to take a bite out of this crime.
Take a bite out of crime.
Do you remember?
Yes.
What was his name?
It was the dog.
What was his name?
Mark.
Gather around the campfire, children. Let me tell you the story of McGruff the crime dog.
I'm McGruff the crime dog.
Oh, children, he was an animated bloodhound dressed as Sherlock Holmes. And he would come to our television and he would raise awareness for crime and personal safety. Hooch was encouraging people to join a neighborhood watch and not litter our parks. Oh, children, it was a PSA, a public service announcement to remind us to be kind and courteous. Oh, what a time we would listen to animated cartoons giving us life hacks.
You know, your kids can learn to protect themselves against crime at home, at school, on the street. Learn how to keep your family and your community safe and help take a bite out of crime.
Oh, yes, children. We listened to everything McGruff said. He was only second to Who's the Boss's Danny Pintaro, reminding us not to do crack.
Crack has not done anything positive for anyone that has tried it. Being strung out is not a game. So if you're thinking about using crack, don't do it.
Oh, what a time, children, when animated cartoons reminded us that crack is whack. What a time.
And next week, children, we'll talk about Saved by the Bell and how they did drug awareness commercials.
There's no hope with dope.
There was a lot of cartoons that gave us life lessons. Smokey the Bear.
Dare, which just scared the shit out of us. This is your drug. This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs.
This is your drug.
It didn't work. I do a lot of weed.
Here's the thing. When Kathy called that bank and said, send me those motherfucking statements in 5 minutes, what the bank unknowingly did was send not only all of the legitimate bank statements for the legitimate bank accounts, but they also sent over the statements for Rita's secret bank account. Basically, Kathy's like, I'm not sure what all of this is, but whatever it is, it ain't good.
And then about 3 days later, the mayor came into my office and he started to talk to me how bad we were in dire straits, the city. And I just sat back and I said, Jim, I have something to tell you. I said, I've gotten a statement from Fifth Third. I said, I've never seen this bank account before. So he immediately called the FBI.
And the FBI took it. And remember, FBI doesn't usually take on cases that they don't think is rock solid. They're like, no, this is all here in black and white coming through on Kathy's fax machine from 1992. Mm-hmm. But here was what ended up happening. everyone left in the office, including down bitch Kathy, had to carry on business as usual. Everything needed to be just totally commonplace while they gathered more information. And Kathy was basically a DB FBI agent because she was getting them all the information from the inside. She would go into work early. She would access records. She would copy shit, all while she's sitting playing nice with Rita and her ugly ass horse sandals.
Honey, she said I should have won an Academy Award for the act I put on. And honestly, I also barely made it through. I drank a lot. It was very hard, which actually makes me think there's a world where only Kathy and the mayor knew. They couldn't risk other people in the office talking about it. Because, you know, in a small town, all it takes is you tell one person, they tell one person, and then all of a sudden Rita knows and she's skipping town and she's in Duluth.
It's a sting. Kathy is like a Midwestern meemaw in the middle of an FBI sting operation.
And she's so sweet. I really want to hug her because she was just like fun. She seems like a fun person.
It took such a toll on her mental health. She went to the mayor's office one day and she's like, Jim, can I call you Jim? I can't do this anymore. And poor sweet Jim, who really was so concerned about the citizens of Dixon, was like, it's happening today. She's going to get arrested.
It's crazy because Kathy was like,
so they had her stand up and I closed my eyes to listen to the click of the handcuffs to get some kind of closure. I thought that would do it for me, but it really didn't. I couldn't come to work the next morning. I was crying because all I could think of was, did she have a blanket? Was she cold last night? That part of me kicked in, you know.
I can tell that Kathy is an empath and she's just can probably see the good in anyone. But my ass, you and I are both very empathetic, but I'm thinking about all the suffering that these people went through while she was ordering filet mignon for her dogs.
You have to remember, these women worked together in this office for 20 years.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you particularly don't like your coworkers, you still see them day in and day out. Sometimes you see your coworkers more than you see your own family. You get to know people's life, the ins and outs. And it was a very big part of her life. You know, even if she was bringing her home stupid horse gifts that she didn't give a shit about, imagine seeing everyone every working hour for 20 years. Of course, that would be very internally confusing because Kathy knows she did the right thing.
But it's a lot. So now the news of Rita's thievery hits the city of Dixon and all of them collectively turn into Octavia Spencer and the Help because they're all
eating my shit.
And the mayor is like, well, we have to call a meeting. We have to address this. Like I said before, yes, Rita was the one who stole. Rita was at the helm and she acted alone. But why on earth anyone in positions of power would allow her to have that kind of control over the money that goes in and out? Someone higher up should have been like, she can't do both of these jobs. It's a conflict of interest. So they were mad. I would be mad too. I'd be like, yeah, fuck Rita, but fuck you too, Jim, and fuck somebody else.
Who did Jim fuck? Kathy? Are we making a side story?
I would be like, fuck you, city council. Somebody should have flagged this.
She stole from her friends, her fellow citizens, people who championed her at her horse fucking races. Also, who needs 400 horses? The greed. 400 horses? Can you quantify how many horses that is?
I think it was an addiction. We've seen this a million times with crimes, and we've all done it in our own lives, right? Where we do something and we get away with it for a little bit, and then we get more comfortable, and then you keep going until later on you're like, oh, I stole $52 million and I own 400 horses.
Do you remember that coupon woman, Robin Ramirez?
Yes.
Who made so much money and she was buying like cars and planes. She didn't use it. She bought helicopters and they just sat places. Like, what are you trying to get money for?
Yeah.
She just needed more and more. Yeah, you're right. It's like a greed addiction. You couldn't possibly even remember the names of 400 horses.
And meanwhile, there's people who can't even get through to the dispatcher because the radios don't work in your town.
Exactly.
Honey, the FBI did not come to play.
The FBI's thorough investigation revealed Rita acted entirely alone. And with overwhelming evidence against her, she pled guilty, hoping for a reduced sentence.
60-year-old Rita Crundwell's days of freedom and high living are over. Today, a judge sentenced her to 19 years and 7 months behind bars.
not in the episode, the max for this crime in the state of Illinois is 20 years, and the defense was asking for 13 years. I just think that's the shadiest thing. The judge is like, I'll give you 19 years, 7 months.
I'll shave off 5 months for you.
There you go. Merry Christmas, okay? You're an old friend. We went to high school together. He's 5 months out of the slammer. Sweet Kathy is here, and she went to the sentencing because she thought to herself, surely, this woman is going to see the error of her ways.
Yes.
She's going to apologize to us. She's going to apologize to the citizens of Dixon. She did not.
Nope.
She apologized to her friends and her family. And Kathy was like, wow, that's a fucking gun punch, you tacky-ass cunt.
And then Lacey says, you know, Kathy, you're kind of a hero. And Kathy's like, I'm not a hero. I did my job, but you know what makes me feel good is when all of this was over, my daughters, I always told them growing up how proud I was of them. They said, thank you for always being proud of us, but we want you to know that in this moment, we are proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that that must have been some sort of consolation after 6 months. I mean, 6 months is a long time to pretend. So off to jail, Rita goes, and that's the end of it, right, Ellen?
Oh, you would think.
Yep.
We got a little tag. You would think she would sit and take her lumps. She earned it. You're a fucking con artist. I just want to say this. What is the Moorishness of this? This is just the stupidest crime. Just the greed of it all. Anyway, she decided to write like a 53-page research paper to the judge and beg for early release. And Danny's like, nah. Danny takes Lacey down to this statue of Ronald Reagan. You all should see this statue. This man looks very handsome. I never saw Ronald Reagan look like this. This statue of Ronald Reagan does CrossFit. What's up? You see my gains, bro?
Fuck you, Ronald Reagan. If I ever see you in the afterlife, I will slap you across the face.
To recoup as much as possible from the $53.7 million embezzled, Dixon auctioned off all of Rita Crundwell's assets. Everything must go, including all five of her kitchen sinks.
They weren't leaving anything untouched. They took her ugly ass furniture. They took her ugly ass clothes. They took her ugly ass cowboy hats. They took her beautiful horses, which poor horses.
Yeah.
They're just like collateral damage in this big scheme. Horses are very beautiful, emotional creatures. I feel so bad for all of them.
But here's the thing. One person's trash is another man's treasure, because folks from all over America was like, did somebody say tacky custom made revolver chandeliers? I'll take two.
Someone got her diary. I got her diary, honey. If someone auctioned off my diary, I would request to go to Guantanamo Bay. I'd be like, lock me up. How much is my sentence? 19 years. Double it, add a zero. I ain't never coming out.
Also, y'all, they auctioned off horse nut. Not chestnuts, not walnuts, but horse nut.
Horse nut, semen.
Yes.
It's the thoroughbred, the horse.
I don't care. That is disgusting. Can you imagine? Here you go. It's in a Ziploc bag. Have fun.
What'd you get? Horse splooge.
We poured it in an I Love Dixon mug. Have fun.
They auctioned off her properties.
She had five properties. Not just the one in Florida. Not just the one. She had five. This person is a horrible human being.
Why do you need that much stuff? Stuff is not going to make you happy. It's so weird to me.
It is weird, but it's an addiction. And so they're able to get back $52 million. Basically everything that Rita took.
Mm-hmm.
So that's got to be the end of the story, right, Ellen?
You'd think.
The next step was suing the town's auditors, who were supposed to be watching over this and missed Rita's scheme for over 20 years.
Good for fucking you. They need to accept some responsibility. And so it was between the lawsuit settlement and the auction that the city was able to regain that money. And was that the end of the story, Joey?
No, it's not. Because y'all, buckle up. If you have a subscription, take your Xanax now. Have a cocktail. Don't combine both. Rita got out early because of COVID and the CARES Act. They wanted to reduce the spread of COVID. Mm-hmm. So she got an early release and she was sent home with home confinement after 8 years. And everyone was pissed. Everyone. Also, a news reporter tried to interview her brother in a truck. And I guess asshole runs in the family.
But we're here. What are you bothering me for? Camera off my face,
Is Rita staying with you?
Or? Rita who? Who would you like?
Your sister who wrote in a letter to the judge that she was going to stay with you if she was released.
Do me a favor and kiss my f***ing
These are not nice people, but you know what? Dixon is now thriving.
Yeah.
They've bounced back. They have things in place to make sure that this never happens again.
They're looking towards the future. They've changed a lot of the infrastructure inside. They've made a lot of renovations. Danny, the manager, who's actually a really great guy. I know I was making fun of him for being the manager. It's just a funny title. But he says what we wish all people in government would say is that how can we ask people to trust us if they are duped? We need transparency in government. You can tell this man and the other people that we met on this show actually care about the citizens. They care about what they do.
Yeah.
And they close sadly with Ronald Reagan's words.
Trust but verify.
Which honestly, Joey, I know you don't like Ronald Reagan, but you have lived by that because I know for a fact you always make your Grindr dates verify their picture before you go and slob their knob.
Honey, this is not my first time at the Hodeo, okay? I know what's up.
At the very end of this episode, they give us a little piece of information that in 2024, President Biden commuted Rita's sentence.
It's very strange because the CARES Act was signed in March of 2020. By Donald Trump. And that was to keep vulnerable people who were not violent offenders out of prison. And they were basically on house arrest. They were on homestay. I would have thought when that went bye-bye that they would have sent her back to prison. Biden probably thought he was like signing an autograph. He was like, here it is. Poor Biden.
Who am I?
Poor guy. Say something funny.
So you know how on Tinder they have a feature where someone can click play and they can hear you just say a little blurb about yourself?
I didn't know that. Carry on.
I now know what my new blurb is going to be. You want to hear it?
What?
We love dicks.
What do you think?
That's a callback! Thank you, dumb bitches! Scam goddess! I like it. We got you for 4 episodes, Lacey. Can't wait. Thank you so much for being here, dumb bitches. Don't forget, if you're not following us on Instagram, that is where we post all of our backstage silliness and we post all kinds of information like watch parties and paint parties and all the things that we're doing in our ITN community.
And you can find us there at I Think Not Pod. Also, if you have not joined our Facebook group, it's another way that you can keep up with all of our updates, and that is called the I Think Not Podcast Facebook discussion group. If you have not joined our YouTube channel, what are you doing? Please go over there.
Parker is over there doing the Lord's work, making all kinds of funny music videos and everything. So please head on over there, subscribe, drop us a comment. We love to read your comments. We love to read your love. You are the absolute best. And if you are feeling frisky, please head over to iTunes or Spotify or Amazon or wherever you listen to us. Leave us a 5-star review and please write a couple sentences about why you like the podcast. And if you don't, I urge you to head over to Gen Y because I think their reviews have been really good and they need to be taken down a peg. Okay? I'm kidding. We love you guys. Until next time, I love you, Joey.
I love you too, you and Marie Martian. I love you, Jamie.
We love you, dumb bitches. Bye.
Horse's nut.
Shall we get to the episode? Sorry, go ahead, Ellen. Go ahead.
It's okay.
Should we? Go ahead. Did you say our pets' heads are falling off?
Have you never seen Dumb and Dumber? Can you just keep up for 5?
Pretty little bird. Do you want a cracker? I forgot about that.
Hassle Petey. What happened? Harry, I took care of it. Who's the greatest singer of all time?
Aretha Franklin.
You said Mariah Carey last time I asked
no,
you that question.
No, I said who was my diva. Mariah is my diva, but the greatest singer of all time is Aretha Franklin.
That's incorrect. Go on.
Why would Xi Jinping want to flood my basement and rust my Bowflex? To what end? To what end?
Should we get to that episode?
Such a good girl. All right, I love you, Harris. Harris, please don't ever leave us. I love you.
Love you,
too. Bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.